Jim Hightower, what brings you to Occupy DC at Freedom Plaza?
A love for democracy and a love to see people fighting for democracy. You know, democracy doesn't come in on a strong wind. It comes in because people make it happen. That's how it started. And the advances that we've made over the generations has been because just ordinary people have stood up and demanded it. And that's what these folks are doing. I'm very proud of them and just want to be a part of it.
In your remarks, you mentioned how this is unusual to have so much broad support at the outset of a movement.
Yeah. The American Revolution itself had very little support at the start. And in fact, by the time of the Declaration, only about a third of the American people actually supported it. So, you know, it's always a few people who get something going. And that certainly was the case in the Civil Rights Movement. It's the case in the anti-war movement, the Vietnam period, which I went through. But this one has a sort of spontaneous combustion that has caused people in some 1,300 communities to create Occupy Together organizations and to push for this. And then they're backed by a majority of the American people support the fact that these folks are in the street taking on the banks and the bastards and the voters who keep running roughshod over us. So it has a remarkable level of support from the very start, which I think is why it is going to have a big impact down the road, continuing for a long time.
Are you surprised that the level with it just taking fire across the country? And I remember you doing a series of concerts where people get together to have fun. It seems not dissimilar from what a couple of years ago your efforts.
Yeah. No, I'm not surprised at all because I do a lot of traveling. Been about every place that's got a zip code, and I see people who are doing things through in politics that doing it differently in politics, in healthcare, in business generally, in banking, just the whole structure of business, going through co-ops rather than corporations, for example. So I take great energy and heart from these people's movements. And then I've seen in the last year or so more outbursts against this corporate power that's is just relentless in knocking down the workaday majority. They've stomped on too many people. That's what's happened. They've gotten so arrogant, they think they can just get away with it, and the American people won't fight back. Well, they learned early this year in Madison, Wisconsin, that people won't just take it. Tremendous explosion of anger and action there. Already they've taken out two of the state senators who impose this anti-worker rights provisions in the state of Wisconsin, defeated them in recall elections. They're going after the governor next. And out of that inspired a lot of people. I think it inspired a lot of the Occupy movement. And now this Occupy folks who stood up in Wall Street, very few people, less than 100, I think, were initially part of it, and it just spread like wildfire across the country because it hit that spark that's within us, a spark of anger that our country is being taken from us, our very values of fairness and justice and opportunity for all being destroyed. So people are rebelling.
Can I ask you quickly about the Republican presidential contest? Rick Perry is someone you've dealt with in your years. You were agricultural commissioner in Texas, which is the second highest elected statewide office there. What are your thoughts on his candidacy, as well as the Congressman Ron Paul, also from Texas?
Well, Ron Paul I have a good bit of respect for. Don't agree with across the board by any means, but he's... You know, he's been there a long time, and he's had integrity with it. He doesn't change his opinion every day, and Perry does. Perry is just a rank opportunist. He's a corporate whore. Corporations put money into his campaigns, and he delivers taxpayer money or government favors back to them. It's a straight quid pro quo kind of government. He's got a lot of uglies in him. And that's what's coming out. That's the reason he started off very high in the polls and he's plummeted. They say that the higher the monkey climbs, the more you see of its ugly side. And that's what's happened with Rick Perry. He's being discovered. And it's also being discovered that, he's not the brightest porch light on the block in those debates. He's not merely stumbled. Even the right-wing press has said it's just the most god-awful performance they've ever seen in a presidential debate. And he made clear that he's not ready to be president of the United States. He just doesn't have the stamina, the guts, the gumption, the cojones to be able to be the president or the intellect to do it. So You know, Ted Williams, a great baseball player, once said, if you don't think too good, don't think too much. And Perry's been thinking too much, I'm afraid. So I don't think he's going to get there. But the whole gaggle, I mean, you know, the fact that Herman Cain is even in the race, much less leading it, of the Republican primary for president, is an astonishing admission of the shallowness of the gene pool on that side of the political spectrum these days.
What's the stance that a progressive individual like yourself from the Democratic Party takes as we head to the general election?
Yeah. Well, you know, I was an Obama supporter, enthusiastic, believed in the hope and the audacity and thought it could and would be transformative. It turns out not to have been. It's been way too much business as usual, way too much Wall Street involvement, way too little Rooseveltian attitude of taking on the powers that be on behalf of the powers who ought to be, the ordinary workaday people. So that doesn't mean I'm opposed to Obama, but it means that I've lost the kind of fire I had for him and enthusiasm. I think progressives should be focused on congressional races and state legislative races, mayoral, city council races. Let's build where our power is at the grassroots level. And then let's also push at the grassroots level to get corporate money out of our politics. That's what's eating Obama alive, is he takes all that corporate money. And I can tell you, if you take that corporate check, written on the back of it is the corporate agenda. And that's what's happened to him. So we've got to get corporate money out so that in the future, people we elect don't have to go kissing corporate butt in search for money. Rather, they can stand with the people unequivocally.
Lastly, Jim Hightower, it's great to have a chance to interview you, having read your work for years. One of the Texas sayings I think I've heard you say is you can't have a mass movement without the masses. Right. And I've been thinking about that as we watch this movement grow.
Yeah, exactly. And this is what democracy is. Now, it's got to expand, and it is. You know, we got the hip-hop moving in behind Occupy. Not just Wall Street, but around the country. We've got more of the African-American leaders and Asian leaders and, you know, the whole ethnic routine, because, you know, everybody recognizes that they're being stomped on. You know, even a dog knows the difference between being stumbled over and being kicked. The powers that be are just deliberately kicking us, and they kick too many of us. So this is a movement that can grow into something not only big, but important.
Thanks so much for
your
time.
Thank you. My pleasure.